racing to the first tee, knowing what fun it will be. Soon the starter will call me to the first tee.
Once again, welcome to the Grill Room, powered by Vertical Groove Golf, the absolute new face of golf. I'm Bob Bupka. So proud to be here with Jay Randolph Jr., better known as STL Golf Geek on Twitter. Jay, how's the Christmas season going at Normandy Golf Club this year?
I got to tell you, Bob, it's been an unbelievable extended fall. Here in St. Louis, in December last year at Normandy, we played about 430 rounds. We've already played about 600 this year. I mean, that just tells you about the weather situation. We had a nice day on Saturday. We called it a sippin' shop. Come out and get some merchandise and maybe have a cocktail and enjoy a little afternoon. So everything's going great. It's been really interesting with the weather being so good. How many people have kept playing this year?
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. And, of course, we got our fingers crossed that we have good weather when that PGA Championship comes to St. Louis next year when we go out to Belle Reve. Good weather, a great golf course, great fans in and around that St. Louis area. I know it's going to be a very exciting fourth and final major to the year. And you know what? Coming up right after that, earlier this week, Jay, had the opportunity to be in a roundtable discussion with Thomas Bjorn, the European Ryder Cup captain. And one of the things I asked Thomas specifically, I said, Thomas, and I've known him for a long time, he's one of my better friends, I would say, that play on the European Tour. I said, Thomas, you have control. You want Tiger to be on the United States team, or you don't want Tiger to be on the United States team? And he kind of chuckled a little, Jay, he said to me, oh, no, I would definitely love to see Tiger play for the United States in the shadow of the Eiffel Tower. He said it would really, really be good for the game, really good for the event. Which promises to be super huge when it's held, just outside of Paris come September.
Well, and trust me, Bob, I've had a lot of people since the Hero World Challenge talk to me here in St. Louis about, the fact Tiger's never played a competitive round here in St. Louis. Right after the year after he turned pro, he did a junior clinic here, but he's never played a competitive round. Some of the listeners may know about September 11th. Well, they all know about September 11th, but that week, the American Express Championship was slated to be played at Belle Reve. Tiger was there, a great field had assembled, and the tragedy happened and the event was canceled. So I've had a lot of people, a lot of people just hope that not only that he could just play and play his first competitive round in my hometown, but what if he competed? So, and he'd have to be competing in golf tournaments if he made the Ryder Cup team. So there's a lot to look forward to with our fingers crossed for 2018.
You know, one thing I did say to Thomas, and I want to move on to the father-son right quick-like, but one thing I said to Thomas, Tiger Woods, in reality, is not going to have to give too many reasons to Jim Furyk, the United States Ryder Cup captain, for Jim Furyk to say, Tiger, I'd like you to play on the team. I mean, there's no question that the bar for Tiger to get on that team is a lot lower than it is for anybody else, and justifiably so.
No question. And, if he shows as the season progresses that he's progressing, and competing, you're right. He gets the benefit of the doubt. No question.
All right. Let's move on now to the father-son held down in Florida in Orlando. Angel and Angel Jr. Cabrera won the PNC Father-Son Challenge. Pretty amazing to me watching it on TV, Jay. I don't know how much opportunity you had to put some eyeballs on that, but so many of the sons of these great players, including John Daly, who plays our vertical groove driver, his little son, Little John, who's not really that little anymore. But boy, there's some good golf talent there, including Angel Jr., who wins with his father. First time they've ever been in that event, a big win for them.
Well, and I thought of our friend Charlie Epps, who taught basically Angel how to play the game and is his teacher and so involved with Argentina and a great win, like you said. And the kid looks like he's got game. I think it's his youngest son, and he really was very impressive, and you're right. But it shouldn't be that surprising. I mean, we've seen for a long time a lot of sons and daughters of professionals, whether they be golf professionals or PGA Tour professionals, have had success.
Well, certainly no surprise to me. I mean, all I have to do is look at my co-host. His dad won the Egyptian Open, and his son Jay Jr. went on to a pretty good career himself in golf. New wrinkle this year, Justin Leonard, he brought his father. That may open the door for, you know, somebody like Justin Thomas or Jordan Spieth and his father. You know, even Jim Furyk, whose father Mike is a golf pro, a new wrinkle this year, and I kind of liked it.
Yeah, I almost think it needs to be the PNC Family Challenge. I think it opens it up to, you know, if your dad has been your mentor, or maybe your mom was your mentor. You know, I think it's a great way. It comes at a time of year where, you know, you're thinking family. The season's over, but we're getting ready for another one. Some people like to play. It's down in Orlando, a family spot. I think it's got to play. And can only get bigger as it kind of opens itself up. I love pro fathers playing with their dads who taught them the game.
Yeah, it was very enjoyable, and a lot of money at stake. Hard to believe that the winning team, the Cabreras, they put $200,000 in their pocket. That'll motivate them to certainly play well. All right, we got a lot to do and a little time to do it, so let's move on. A new wrinkle in the golf ball discussion has surfaced. This one coming from Jack Nicklaus. Have you had an opportunity to catch a glimpse of what Jack is proposing?
Yes, I have, Bob, and I haven't decided yet. I got to tell you, he's trying to establish a distance ranking for golf courses. Say an older type course at 6,000 yards from the back tees, that might be a ranking of 70. And your 7,300 or now 7,400 or even 7,500 yard golf course would be at that 100 level. And then the feeling would be that, you know, if you're playing a 70% golf course, that day you'd use a 70% golf ball. I think it can get a little confusing. I'm not exactly sure that this is the right way of doing it, but it's a suggestion. And what's interesting is that, you know, Jack is making these suggestions. We talked a couple of weeks ago about Tiger. It's all quiet on the USGA front.
Well, that's right, and that's a direction Jack is trying to direct his comments. But I agree with one thing you said, Jay. It is somewhat confusing. I can hear it now. Your normal foursome, even at Normandy, let's say it was rated as a 80% golf course, so you're supposed to use an 80% golf ball, and a guy on the first tee hits a pretty good drive, and his competitor says, "Hey, wait a minute, I want to check that ball. That thing flew like a 90% golf ball, not an 80% golf ball." We'll see. The one valid point that Jack makes, and he's really been making this for 15, 20 years, as far back as I can remember, what is happening by the golf ball going so far, it is reducing certain iconic golf courses in this country to be regarded as archaic and not enough of a challenge. And that's really sad, because not every golf course, A, has the option to buy property to make their golf course longer. And even if they did, that's an expensive proposition. And as you know, as the ambassador for Normandy, the longer your golf course, the more the maintenance cost.
Well, absolutely, Bob. And you know, as it relates to those iconic venues, the Oakmonts, the Marions, the spots that are limited, like a St. Louis Country Club in St. Louis, you know, Jack's looking at that from a championship venue perspective for the best players in the world. Because as you and I know, because we've been fortunate enough to play some of these golf courses, they're still a wonderful test for everybody else, believe me. So, I you know, something's going to give sooner or later. And it's going to, you and I are going to get to follow the path of which they go. And until the USGA says something, this is all just talk.
Well, very well said there, Mr. Randolph, because we have not heard anything from the USGA. And Jack, his little bit of sense of humor there said, well, I'm sure they'll look at it over the next 20 years and they'll come up with a decision. The USGA is not about to rush into anything. You know, when we think about it, certainly the golf industry, the golf ball industry, I should say, would certainly love it. They'd be having to sell different golf balls for different golf courses. That would be amazing.
Well, it would, but it also, you know, if you put the limit on the golf ball, Bob, then what necessarily is the difference between the Bridgestone and the Wilson and the Titleist if they're all scaled to a certain level? That's the other thing. That's been this whole debate about a uniform golf ball. But again, when you're talking about a uniform golf ball, I think you're talking about for elite amateurs and for professionals. And because, you know, nobody cares per se on their Saturday morning game with a 12 handicap and an 18 handicap and a 27 handicap and a 14 handicap what ball they're using.
Well, that's well said. And I think the laboratory where an experiment could be conducted, and if it's going to be conducted anywhere, I think it'll transpire at Augusta National. I don't think it's too big a stretch of anyone's imagination. I don't know when, certainly not this coming year, maybe not 5 years from now, maybe 10 years from now. I certainly can see players that qualify for the Masters, they show up. They're given the golf ball that's going to be used that week. So nobody has an edge of using this golf ball or that golf ball. It will be a Masters golf ball that they will be forced to play with. And I think that would be an experiment at the highest level. And certainly they have the clout, the wherewithal. They can do anything they want. You could show up there and they could tell you have to play with a wiffle ball. And if you want that green jacket, you're going to be whacking that thing down the fairway.
You're listening to The Grill Room, powered by Vertical Groove Golf, the new face of golf, heard on KTRS, the Big 550 in St. Louis, the Armed Forces Radio Network, Talk Sport 2, TuneIn, Audio Boom, iTunes, Spreaker, iHeartRadio, or you can just ask your smart speaker Alexa to play The Grill Room Golf Show, and you'll be connected.
Well, it's certainly hard to believe, but January 1st is almost here, Jay, and The Grill Room, I have to tell you, we're ready for it. As you know, we're going to be comfortably situated in the Coppola Villas for the Century Tournament of Champions. Just imagine what I'm going to be seeing. Beautiful sunshine, great villa to stay in, gorgeous ocean views. I can't think of anything that could be better. And why not you? If you're planning a trip to Maui or you want to go to paradise, please visit CoppolaVillas.com to choose the best option for your stay. That is CoppolaVillas.com. I can guarantee you, you will not be disappointed. Well, over the years, Jay, the new breed of winners I have to be honest, really a lot different from the older breed, because this event, the Century Tournament of Champions, a lot of players opted to skip it for a variety of reasons. But I'm watching more and more young players show up. It is a winners-only event, very small field. And players really, Jay, are realizing it's a great way to get off to a good start for the calendar year. And just case in point, Justin Thomas, last year's Player of the Year, he was asked why he plays in the Tournament of Champions.
Kind of the last week or so, I've been starting to get a little hungry and ready to get back after it. It's just so fun. It really is. I mean, the course is fun. You know, you can make a lot of birdies on it. The limited field is nice. You know, the rounds go by fast, playing in twosomes, and it's just a laid-back vibe. You know, people have some great places to eat, which is always enjoyable. It's just, there's really nothing negative about the tournament.
Nothing negative about Maui, I can assure you that, Jay.
Well, I mean, I think as people who've been to it, and you're going this year, it amazes you why somebody wouldn't play. But let's think back. It kind of started with Tiger. I don't think Tiger liked the trip. I don't think he liked to fly out to Hawaii and then the West Coast and start playing. And so players started not playing. And, you know, I think it made us look at each other like, what the heck? Are they crazy? You got automatic dough. You got beautiful weather. You got the food. You got the atmosphere, the way they treat you out there. And I think you're dead on. I think this new breed of players, well, heck, as we talked about, Justin Thomas, who's got that $10 million cushion, you know, why wouldn't he play? I mean, you know, I think Justin Thomas looks at him and goes, a trip to Hawaii to play 4 days on a fun golf course? I'm there.
Yeah, and don't forget, all his expenses are paid while he's there. He gets to stay. He has his choice, basically, a villa, or he could stay in the Ritz-Carlton. So it's pretty amazing. I think last place probably is going to be worth somewhere around $85,000. I mean, you show up, you play lousy, and you win 85 grand. That's pretty heavy stuff. You know, the 44 events on the PGA Tour last year, and there's always going to be some duplicate winners. So the field isn't going to be that large. I would guess a final tally when we get there in a couple of weeks, Jay, is going to be somewhere around 35, 37 players. And that's certainly not a lot of players, but, you know, the some real big guns are already going to be going there. Dustin Johnson, Jordan Spieth, and John Rahm. Ricky Fowler, we don't know about. But others, I think word just in, Ricky Fowler has committed. I know he likes it there, and why wouldn't he?
Well, and as you heard Justin Thomas say, you know, for guys that have taken a couple of weeks off that maybe haven't been playing like Justin Rose and some others that have been playing, it gives them, you know, it's a nice place to get back into swing.
Yeah, it's a little harder for the Europeans and the internationals, quite honestly. They use this time of year to play in the Middle East, especially for those guys that are trying to do stuff on the European Tour and the U.S. Tour. And this year in particular, Jay, because, you know, guys are trying to solidify their place on that Ryder Cup team that we talked about earlier. So probably won't see Justin Rose there. But, you know, the way he's been playing, I'm sure the other players in the field are happy that Justin Rose will not be there. What about Justin Thomas? We wanted to know what he expects from himself after such a great season.
You know, I think as the year goes on, trying not to compare this year to last year. You know, if I, you know, say halfway through the year, I haven't, for some reason, if I haven't won yet, or if I haven't played well, or even if I have played well, just not as well, you know, because I know that I'm constantly going to get reminded of what I did last year versus this year, and whether it's better or whether it's worse, you know, I will. And I think I just need to, the hardest part is going to be staying in the moment and just, you know, recognizing that it's a new year. It's, you know, it's a new opportunity for great things. And I just need to continue to work hard.
Well, Justin Thomas is right in saying you know, he likes his schedule, and based on what he did last year, being the player of the year and, you know, having a tremendous end of the season, why would he change his schedule? So, you know, like, as he mentioned, if he's struggling a little bit, maybe he adds a start here or doesn't do a start there. Justin Thomas knows what he's doing.
Well, if he's going to try and duplicate last year, Jay, he's got his work cut out for him. Don't forget, a year ago he won this Tournament of Champions, and then he went over to Honolulu and won there too, so including a 59 up on the board. All right, what about the other players? Jay, Rory, for example. I kind of have this nagging feeling in the back of my mind that he's going to have a big year in 2018. You on board with that?
I'm not sure. I put Jason Day in that same category. I'm just not sure on either one yet. I'd say maybe Rory a better opportunity than Jason, because still some of the uncertain situation that seemingly always surround Jason with some health issues. But, you know, they both have to be motivated, Bob, because they really were out of the discussion. And I think Rory's fallen to 10th in the world golf rankings, and Justin Day is 14th. I mean, Jason Day. So, you know, he's going to start in the Middle East in January, and that, you know, that's usually a good place for him to start.
Yeah, it really is. And he'll make landfall in the United States, speculation now, at the AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am. Then he'll play the Genesis Open at Riviera, typically the Honda Classic in Florida. He lives right next door. Then the Valspar Championship on Copperhead, one of the great courses in Florida, and I don't think Rory's played there before. Then, obviously, the Arnold Palmer Invitational makes a lot of sense for him. And his pre-Masters schedule will be concluded with the Dell Technologies Match Play at a great golf course, Austin Country Club, and that'll be at the end of March. So we're in a little bit of disagreement. Jay, my partner's a little on the fence on Rory McIlroy. I'm on the side that he is going to have a big year. All right, let's move on. The big question, even a lot bigger than, will Rory McIlroy play well? How will Tiger Woods figure into the 2018 season?
It's the question everybody's asking. And I think what I kind of like so far is that he's not coming out and saying, here's where I'm going to be, here's where I'm going to be, like he did last year with scheduling those four tournaments in 5 weeks. So I think this is a whole different scenario. I would imagine, Bob, that he's chomping at the bit in a sense. Now, where that means he'll play, I don't know. I don't know if he'll play Torrey Pines or whether it'll be Riviera. I hope he doesn't get suckered into going to Dubai or in the Middle East. I'd rather see him make his start on U.S. soil.
Well, that's a good point. Farmers Insurance Open at Torrey Pines makes a lot of sense with his success there. The negative being that the rough is kind of high and doesn't want to injure that back. As far as the Genesis Open at Riviera, it's where Tiger first played in a PGA Tour event. He was only 16 years old, but that one's for his foundation. So that makes sense. He likes the Honda Classic. Arnold Palmer Invitational, I'd love to see him there. And then, of course, it would be the Masters. And we're just guessing on all of these things. But, you know, the point you made is such a valid one, though, Jay. Last year he came out, announced this ambitious schedule weeks in advance, and wasn't able to live up to it. This time he's playing it a little closer to the vest, and what I'm hoping, and I think golf fans everywhere are hoping, is that he's assessing his physical condition before making any major announcements.
Bradley Klein, the golf course architect writer, I believe, for Golf Week, I guess he's part of Tiger's part of a project or a course in Los Cabos, Mexico, and apparently put on a clinic. And Bradley Klein said he was hitting the ball like he remembered him hitting it back in the day. And his attitude and demeanor was phenomenal. Now, again, that's just one guy's perspective, but that's not something we saw last year. So our fingers are crossed that he's a major part of the scene.
Well, we're going to take a brief time out right here. When we return, we're going to talk about some other players that may have a huge year in 2018. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to The Grill Room, powered by Vertical Groove Golf, the new face of golf.
You're listening to The Grill Room.
Situated in central St. Louis resides the oldest public golf course west of the Mississippi, Normandy Golf Club. Opened in 1901 and designed by the renowned Fowlis Brothers of Scotland, this old gem has played host to Babe Ruth, Mickey Rooney, and the great Babe Zaharias. History lives and breathes at The Rock, as Normandy is affectionately known. A mixture of long and short holes in a tree-lined atmosphere challenge golfers of all skill levels. The 18th hole at Normandy, well, it's as tough a par three as you'll find, measuring 251 yards from the back tee. In 2015, a renewed commitment was made to this unique property under the direction of Walters Golf Management. Affordable rates and top-notch service is what you'll find at Normandy Golf Club. The facility uses a unique dynamic pricing structure that golfers seem to love. If your travels bring you to St. Louis, make sure to make a tee time at The Rock. To learn more, check out normandygolf.com or call 314-862-4884 and enjoy old-school golf at its finest.
Welcome back to The Grill Room. Your table's ready.
Welcome back to The Grill Room. He's Jay Randolph Jr. I'm Bob Bupgren. We're happy in this holiday season to be talking golf on The Grill Room. All right, we got to bring up Phil Mickelson, Mr. J. He was in pretty good shape last year. He still, I know, from the bottom of his heart, wants to win a U.S. Open so bad that he probably can taste it, having finished second six times. It's hard to even imagine saying something like that, that somebody that's never won the Open has finished second six times. But can Phil be a factor this year?
Absolutely, he can be a factor. And you mentioned those six second-place finishes, one of those coming where we're going to be next year and where I know you're going to love it at Shinnecock. Let's be honest. At this point, his number one goal has to be prepared Father's Day weekend every June for the next 4 to 6 years for his chance to win a U.S. Open. But he's not lost sight of the fact that he's still trying to be a major champion, and there are three of those. And he wants to end his career on a good note on the PGA Tour. So absolutely, Phil could still be a factor.
Well, a couple of things in his favor, Jay, and you're certainly well aware of it as I am. He's adequate off the tee. He's not, the longest bomber on the block now. But anything that he lacks in length, which isn't a heck of a lot, he certainly more than makes up for with that unbelievable short game.
Well, and experience. Let's not forget that. The experience of being in contention, the experience of how to play many of these golf courses, and a guy that, while at times in his career has maybe looked a little heavy or whatever, has still kept himself in pretty good condition. And while he's not as long as those guys, he's not the shortest cat either.
Well, you and I have to be a little careful on those weight criticisms. I can assure you that. And one big factor coming up, this season, it's going to be his brother Tim Mickelson that's going to be his full-time caddy. Bones McKay, who was on his bag forever, did an outstanding job. But, maybe just this change of face, change of a bit of information might be just enough to get Phil over the line in a couple of things, hopefully in the U.S. Open, so that he can complete his Grand Slam.
Well, and if he does complete the Grand Slam, the career Grand Slam, You know, he's in the top 10 without question. I mean, and I think he's already there, but that ends the discussion. You could put that to rest. And as I've said before, I mean, you're talking about one of the most dominant junior players of all time, one of the most dominant collegiate players of all time, one of the most dominant amateur players of all time. So take away Mr. Woods from the mix, and who knows what we'd be saying about Phil Mickelson.
Good point there. And, you know, absolutely. I mean, Phil at his best was going up against Tiger at his best. It doesn't mean that Phil wasn't great. It just means that maybe Tiger was one or two shots per round better, and that adds up at the end. Any new faces on the horizon? I kind of got have my eye on this kid, Lee McCoy, that played so well at Valspar as an amateur. Now he's a professional.
Making the transition very quick. You're talking about Lee McCoy. I'm kind of following the Texas kid, Bo Hostler. You know, and again, we're talking about young players that have had success already as a professional. Hostler off the web.com tour, and we've seen what those young kids have done. You know, 15 years ago, the web.com tour had really become a place for guys that had lost their card on the PGA Tour to go. It wasn't so much all these young guns, but now that's what we're seeing. And there's a track record of the success that they have. And you and I've talked about it. We were both believers that the old Q school was fine and you get your card and you go play on the PGA Tour. But we both admit that this thing's worked out great.
Yeah, it really has worked out great. And there is another direction that some players have opted to use. They've used the roadmap of playing on the European Tour. Brooks Koepka, a reigning United States Open champion, he went that route and honed his game and then came over here and won a major. So I'm going to throw out another name that is worth mentioning, and that's Peter Uihlein. Yes, Uihlein, his dad, Wally, head of Titleist for so many, many years. But Peter Uihlein, from players that have played with him over in Europe, Jay, I've gotten the word, he's the real deal.
First time I saw him was, I think, 2007 as a junior player in the U.S. Junior Amateur Championship that took place in St. Louis at Boone Valley Country Club. I think, as we've talked about, Bob, it takes some guys a little longer to maybe mature or find themselves as a player, as an individual. And I think you make a great point that Uihlein is a kid to watch. He seems like he got the seasoning in Europe. He's come back. He's had some success in the United States and maybe feels a little more comfortable right now than he has in a long time.
All right, let's take a short break. When we come back, it'll be time to groove up with Vertical Groove Golf.
You're listening to The Grill Room.
Hi, I'm Ernie Els. Autism is not game over, it is game on. Get educated and learn the facts. Please learn the early warning signs on our website, elsforautism.com, and talk to your doctor about an autism screening if you have any concerns.
Welcome back to The Grill Room.
It is the first shot of every round, the only shot that's not on the ground. It will be the longest shot if you do it right. Get into the ball, it will sail
outside.
Guess
what, Groove Room listeners? We have a news flash from Vertical Groove Golf in our Groove Up feature. Vertical Groove Golf has just announced a new partnership with Club Champion Golf, the country's number one premium club fitter, builder, and retailer of the best brands in golf. And that now includes the Vertical Groove line of clubs. Currently the Vertical Groove driver, but within a few days, a Vertical Groove 3-wood will also be available. So take the opportunity, hit it, get fitted, and then place your custom fitted club order. What a combination that will be. A driver, a 3-wood. How much fun is it going to be to walk down the fairway more often instead of trampling through the woods and underbrush looking for your golf ball? Vertical Groove technology is proven to reduce spin at impact, forcing tighter dispersion and leading to straighter ball flight and greater distance. The effectiveness of this technology has been validated on the PGA Tour Champions in 2017 by finishing the season ranked number one in driving distance, number two in driving accuracy. Club Champion Golf, the number one premier club fitter, has 28 fitting locations nationwide. There's even a Club Champion Golf location in St. Louis. So all you have to do is go to clubchampiongolf.com to find the nearest location to you. Take the opportunity to get yourself fitted for your Vertical Groove driver.
And, of course, we're powered by Vertical Groove Golf, the new face of golf, the Grill Room. Jay and Bob with you. Glad to have you with us. Let's hear an encore conversation that Bob had with John Daly.
Well, of all the people that I could welcome to the Grill Room, I don't think there's anybody better qualified than my man next to me, a longtime friend, John Daly. John, you now represent Vertical Groove Golf, the new face of golf. The Vertical Groove driver you put into play. How the heck are we going to tell our radio listeners why this club is so great?
Well, you know, it for me personally, it's a smaller head, which I believe you get more club head speed. I think the heads of the drivers have gotten way too big. You want to take spin off a golf ball, that's the perfect way to do it. It's a vertical groove. I mean, if I miss it, feel like I miss it 20, 30 yards right, it only goes five or 10 yards right. If I miss it a little left, it goes. It's like it's self-correcting almost because there's no underspin on it. You only get overspin, and downwind it goes forever. But it's hard to find a driver that, you know, that you feel comfortable going against the wind and not, you know, usually you feel like you got to hit it really hard. This one, I just swing the same way and it goes right through the wind. It's got to be the most incredible thing I've ever seen. And, you know, I may not ever been the number one player in the world and won a ton of tournaments, but there's one thing I do know is drivers. And this is the greatest invention in the history of the planet in golf that I've seen in a long time.
Don't minimize your accomplishments. Two-time major winner, Mr. Daly. I mean, there's not many people that can say that. Going back to the first time you put this club in your hand, did you surmise that, wait a minute, this might be something special?
Well, when I tested with my ping driver, my M1s and M2s of last year, the trajectory was better, the spin was better, and the distance went further. And, you know, like, the higher, you know, of course, usually the higher you hit a golf ball, the further you're going to carry it, but not in this case. I mean, I was hitting my, you know, when we tested, I tested with Ruben, and we were at Biltmore Country Club in Clearwater, and it was night and day. Hitting it further than my original drivers that I've been playing for quite a while, you know, an average of 10 to 15 yards further, and that's just on the carry. And then when you take out the, you know, there's no underspin, you know, on a hard pan like a British Open or certain golf courses we play, the ball's going to roll forever.
It works for you. You're one of the elite players in the game. Would you say that this will work for the average golfer as well?
No doubt. I mean, I think the thing people got to get used to is, you know, and it goes back to the RBZ TaylorMade 3-wood was going further than the drivers 4 or 5 years ago. And that proves my theory that the smaller the head, I think the further you're going to hit it. And honestly, I think the sweet spot's bigger in a smaller head, whether people want to believe me or not. But that I really believe that. You know, these bigger heads, you get them out on the toe or the heel, and the ball looks so small that I kind of lose focus of what's really going on. And now you set this club down, it looks great, you hit it, it's almost self-correcting. And I think the most important thing to sell this driver, it's not just because of the head, it's the best, but make sure you get fitted right. Make sure you get the right shaft, the right grip that fits your swing. That's the only way you're going to be able to tell if anything's better than it is. But I know this is the best driver on the market right now, and I firmly believe there's not going to be anything better than it for a long time.
Well, and as somebody who uses the Vertical Groove driver, I concur with JD. Bob, we talked to Ruben Hannon recently. Things are going great for Vertical Groove Golf.
They really are, and I think people are going to be surprised how many professionals are going to be playing that Vertical Groove driver next year. And if you want the loved one in your life to play it, go to Vertical Groove Golf. That's vertgolf.com and custom order your driver. It'll make a wonderful present.
The first shot of every round. The only shot that's not on the ground.
Well, and Bob, I had one Vertical Groove driver left, and we sold it Saturday as part of our sipping shop at Normandy. I'm a big believer in the Vertical Groove driver.
You try it, you'll like it. You'll hit it further, you'll hit it straighter. And we've run out of time, and just enough time. On behalf of Jay Randolph Jr., my partner, Janice Self, our executive producer, you're yours truly, Bob Bubka, wishing you a very Merry Christmas and Happy Hanukkah.